The book of 2 Chronicles, the book of 2 Chronicles, chapter number 29.
Tony, I forgot that young man's name. Wise. David Weiss? David Weiss. Amen. I don't know him, and I'm ignorant when it comes to a lot of different things. I don't know all these people that are in the Olympics, but it's a friend, a long-time friend of Tony and Kim's that is in the Olympics, and he's supposed to be.
What do you want to do? He's doing a freestyle
half.
One for his fourth.
His fourth gold medal.
Sorry, his second gold medal.
His second
gold medal. He got the first one.
He got the first one last year, you said?
4 years.
4 years. 4 years. So she has to pray with him. You know, sometimes that's kind of stuff can be dangerous. Then somebody, if I read somewhere that some people think that can go, but they just recently. Am I right? Yeah. The winner Olympics from that. What a tragedy that is. And so, God's hand upon that young man. Because he probably skied in these mountains a lot when he was younger. So, there's a prayer for him. Amen. I know there's probably other requests. Amen. Family, friends, co-workers, so on and so forth that we can ask prayer for. Amen. We'll just we'll leave it at that here this morning. Everybody excited about being in church?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I am too. 2 Chronicles chapter number 29. And I want to read two verses of Scripture, verse 35 and verse 36. Verse 35 said, "And also the burnt offerings were in abundance." The burnt offerings were in abundance with the fat of the peace offerings and the drink offerings for every burnt offering. So the service of the house of the Lord was set in order. Verse 36, "And Hezekiah rejoiced." And Hezekiah rejoiced, and all the people, that God had prepared the people, for the thing was done suddenly. Everybody say suddenly.
Suddenly.
I have preached on this title and topic before, but this morning, begin to think about this again and using. I'm going to launch from this same setting here. And there's a few different things that I want to bring into play with this setting. But I'm not going to give you the title yet, but I do want to say this. This word suddenly means instantly with great surprise. Amen. God did something amongst his people instantly with great surprise. And that's what I'm looking for God to even do here today. I'm looking for God to touch us instantly with great surprise. God bless you in Jesus' name. You may be seated. Now, for some of you, you may not have ever read this. I know it was my first time that I had ever read anything like this and had understood this. But I just read a little excerpt, and then I went to studying on it. And I found it very fascinating. I'm not going to read you everything that I did find out. But after the Chinese bamboo tree is planted, you plant a little seed in the ground. It stays in the ground for 4 years and absolutely nothing happens for 4 years. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Anybody ever read this before? Oh man, this is going to be new for all of us. Man, that's pretty cool. This is really quite amazing to think of this, that when you plant that seedling in the ground, you always expect something to grow. But for 4 years, the seed will do its thing under the ground, and the bamboo farmer, if you will continually water this dirt, and nothing happens year after year after year. Then suddenly,
yeah. Suddenly.
All right, Then suddenly, on year five, it springs forth out of the ground. And for the next 60 days, it can grow anywhere from 3 to 6 feet every 24 hours. That means that in as little as 6 weeks, it can get 90 feet tall. But for 4 years, it does nothing. Isn't it amazing, God's creation, how something that seems to be doing nothing above the ground is all of a sudden springing forth with such life and such a dynamic fervor that we can't even begin to imagine that. I actually watched a video of one that they did segments over a 60-day period. And each day it was astounding to watch. You can literally almost watch a period of 24 hours and watch the thing grow before your very eyes. It is something to know that this goes so long unnoticed, so long without any results, and then all of a sudden, it comes to life. I am here to tell you this morning that God delights in suddenness.
Yes.
Because he saw nothing but chaos and darkness, and he began to call things that were not. Amen. And he called light into existence. He began to create by his voice. He commanded certain things to come out of the darkness, and it was a sudden thing. It didn't take very long. We know the creation story, light and darkness, the earth, the water, the trees, all the things that begin to happen. Really, when we take the magnitude of this world and to think that God would speak it into existence, it is a sudden thing. If we were to really sit back and if we could have what I guess you might say an out-of-body experience or something to go back into that time and look at that time where there was nothing but blackness, there was nothing but chaos and darkness, and God speaks and bam, it happens. It's all of a sudden. There are so many things throughout the Word of God that do relate to this suddenness. One of the things that's brought to my attention is out of Revelations, chapter number 13 and verse number 8. It's where the Scripture said that the Lamb was slain from the foundation of the world. In other words, before Jesus ever came and sacrificed his life on Calvary, the Scripture was already set from the foundation of the world. And it took some 4,000 years to get to that point. But when the timing was right, it happened suddenly. Amen. And he came and he sacrificed his life. It was only a thought. It was only in the mind of God. And then when it was time, it happened in a moment. And here's how it was announced in the Scripture in Luke chapter number 2 and verse number 13. 2 and 13 said, "And suddenly there was an angel, there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, peace on earth, good will toward men." It was a sudden thing. Amen. This announcement that heaven, if I can say it this way, with my imagination, burst open with praise, with singing, with shouting. It was a sudden thing. And we understand all of those basic principles of the gospel. But what a word to again use that suddenly the heavenly host began to sing glory to God in the highest. Hey, there's something new and exciting that has come to the earth. That is, a Savior is born. How exciting that day was. When the conditions met when the conditions were right. There was a sudden happening. I'm reminded in our Bibles again of Ezekiel. And God gave him a direction and took him to a boneyard. Took him to a boneyard. Let me read for you for just a little bit in Ezekiel 37, verse number 1. It said, "The hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of a valley which was full of bones and caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there were very many in the open valley. And lo, they were very dry." You notice what he's trying to say? He was trying to get you to get the picture. Just how many bones there were. And how dry. And it was those type of bones that when you walk out through the desert, you see an animal that passed away some years ago, where the bones are cracked because they've been in the elements for so long that there was no moisture to them at all. He wants us to get to this picture in our mind. Verse number 3 said, "And he said unto me," the Lord said to Ezekiel, "Son of man, can these bones live?" What kind of question is that? I can promise you, if God was to put me in this place and set me before this issue, I don't know. I really don't know what I'd say. If God said, "Can these bones live again?" I think I would probably, well, let me say it like this. If I hadn't already read this story, okay, let's put it like that. If I didn't know the end of this story, I probably would go, fat chance. You know, this would be really cool, but no, there ain't nothing going to happen here. Anybody with me on that one? I just don't see myself really with that much faith. But Ezekiel said, and it's so politically correct. He said it so correct. He said, "Oh Lord, thou knowest." I don't want to doubt, but you do know. You know whether these bones can live again. You know whether there's life that can come to these. And then the Lord speaks to him and says, "Preach to these bones. Say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord." I hope that I'm not preaching to a valley full of dry bones. Huh? Oh, I hope today I'm not preaching to a congregation of dry bones, but there's some life here today. But Ezekiel had a situation on his hand, and I thank God that I'm not having to preach to a bunch of skeletons today. Amen. At least I see a little bit of life out there. Everybody still breathing?
Yeah.
All right, good. And so he said, "Preach to those bones, amen, and hear the word of the Lord." Verse 5, "Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, Behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live."
Yeah.
Now, if there was ever a skeptical bone in Ezekiel's body, I think this is probably a good time for him to have that skepticism going on. You want me to do what? You want me to tell these bones that they're going to breathe? They don't even have any guts. They don't have any sinew, no muscle, no nothing. And you're telling me that they're going to breathe again? Are you sure about this? But he began to do that very thing. Verse 6, "I will lay sinew upon you, will bring up flesh upon you and cover you with skin, put breath in you, and ye shall live. Ye shall know that I am the Lord." So I preached. So I prophesied. This doesn't look like the normal type of situation. This doesn't look like anything's going to happen here. But God, because you said go ahead and preach, I'll close my eyes and I'll just see it in my mind's eye.
Right.
Huh?
Right.
So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, when I obeyed the voice of God, no matter what the situation looked like, there was a noise.
Right.
Pardon me. I get this all in my brain. Y'all know me well enough to know that ADD stuff, that DD stuff, that DD stuff, that happened DD stuff in my brain. I see things, and I can see myself stopping for a moment, closing my eyes, and saying, okay, bones, we're going to have to go. The leg bone connect to the knee bone, the knee bone connect to... I'd have to close my eyes because I'm like, I have to get this in my brain. And when he started to preach, when he started to say, he heard a noise, a clanking, a clunking together and things coming together. And about that time, I can see him, and it said, behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. Amen. There was a thigh bone over here and one over there, and the hip bone was somewhere in the middle, and they got sprung all over the place, and that thigh bone came and connected to that hip bone, and that one came over here, and can you imagine what? Yeah. It must have looked like a mess.
Yeah.
Some of y'all can see this. Some of y'all are going, huh? Yeah. Oh yeah, I can see it all. I see bones flying all over this valley, and the right head connected to the neck, and all these vertebrae. All them bones, you know how many bones you got in them fingers and feet? There's all kinds of bones. And they were scattered all over the place, but they were flying all over that valley and hooking together and coming together as God said it would happen. And verse number 8 said, when I beheld, when I looked, lo, sinew and flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them up from above, but there was no breath in them. So now I've got a bunch of bodies here in front of me, but there's no life. There's no breath in them. Then said he, God speaks to him and says, now I want you to preach to the wind. Oh, sometimes I feel like I can do that. I preach to the wind and nothing happens. But that ain't what happened in Ezekiel. He began to preach to the wind as God commanded him. And he said, come forth, O breath, and breathe on these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as God commanded me, and the breath came to them, and they lived, and they stood upon their feet as an exceeding great army. Let me tell you, folks, it didn't take 9 months of gestation period in the womb. It didn't take 30 years for them to mature and become full-grown soldiers, but it happened suddenly. It happened instantly with surprise. I don't know about you, but every time I begin to read that, I sit back and with surprise even myself and say, wow, God, how amazing is this?
Amen.
When man's will gets in line with God's will, there will be a suddenness that changes everything. Amen. There will be a suddenness that changes everything. You say, well, this is going wrong and that's going wrong. I'm going to tell you, when everything lines up right and you get right where you need to be with God, God can change your situation suddenly, in a moment, in an instant, and surprise you tremendously. Chapter number 24, verse number 45. Let me preach just a little bit more here. Then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the scripture, and said unto them, thus is it written, thus it behooved Christ to suffer, and to raise up from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Pardon me. And ye are witnesses of these things. And behold, verse 49, and behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. If you look at that word power, it means dynamite. Until you be endued or enveloped or infused with dynamite.
Amen.
Now get that. That suddenness, instant surprise. I'm going to tell you, there's a surprise with dynamite. Huh? God can touch you in such a tremendous way that it feels explosive. Whoa! Wow! I never dreamed that I could feel so much victory. I never dreamed that I could feel so much peace. I never dreamed that this could happen to me. But let me tell you, when God fills you with his dynamite, with his power, I'm going to tell you that you are going to notice a difference. Verse 50, it said, and he led them out as far as Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and he blessed them, and it came to pass while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven, and they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. But the story doesn't end there. They obeyed. They did the will of God. He went up, and another gospel it talks about that they were standing there gazing up and looking as he went up into the heavens. And the angel said, hey, what you guys looking at? They said, well, didn't you just see that? Jesus was right here. We were just talking to him, and he just poof. What do you mean, what are we looking at? He said, hey, you guys are getting all bit out of shape about looking up. He said, go to Jerusalem. Don't forget the command.
That's right.
Go
that's
there. Right. And oh, you know what? You guys are right. Yeah, we're right. Beat it.
Yeah.
Huh? And they go booking down to Jerusalem. And they begin to pray. It is said, and it is possible when you begin to look at the scripture, that there were about 500 thereabouts that heard the words of Jesus to go to Jerusalem. I'm not going to get into every single scripture, but it is amazing to think that there was more than what ended up at Jerusalem in the upper room.
Right.
That is pretty amazing. There was about, it looks like, somewhere in that neighborhood of 500. But we know that the scripture goes on to say in Acts that there was 120 in the upper room. Amen. There was 120 that were there that did go to Jerusalem. And verse number 1 of Acts chapter number 2, it said, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were with all they were all with one accord in one place. Verse number 2, here's that word again. And suddenly. And suddenly. And instantly, with surprise, there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. And it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire. And it sat upon each of them. And they were all, the scripture said. It didn't say, well, this one got it and that one got it. No, the Bible said that they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave the utterance. Oh, my. We've come a long ways in this sudden aspect. I've used some instances again and again here this morning. But this is the one that I want to capitalize on right now. There was a sudden happening in the realm of the Spirit. I know we're here today really in a lot of our flesh. But oh, what could happen?
What can happen?
What could happen?
Come on.
What could happen if we all got in one mind and in one accord, just like they with the will of God. I believe something suddenly could happen.
Amen.
And I don't believe it's something that he's going to be haphazard and just kind of, well, you know, I can't see God like that. Because every example that I see throughout the Word, he's a God that is on the move. He's not kicking back in a lounge chair and just hanging out. No, he is proactive. Why? Because he wants all people saved. He said, I'm not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He doesn't want anybody to be lost. He wants everybody to be filled with his Spirit. He wants everybody to have an experience that will knock your socks off. Because I'm not here to offend by no means, but I'm going to tell you the denominational world at large. Can I say it that way? Yeah. The denominational world at large. Amen. That they just don't have what it takes to get somebody what they really, really need. There are people that need deliverance. There's people that need healing. Can I share with you an instant healing that happened to me?
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you what happened to me Thursday night. My grandson jumped on my back. You know I've had 3 back surgeries. That's not a good thing. He jumped on my back. I felt something pop. Oh, it caused me so much pain. The next day, I was in great pain. My legs were starting to go numb down the front of my legs, and I'm thinking, oh, God, no, I don't want another back surgery. This was so simple. And if you know anything, there's a lot of, if you know anything about that kind of stuff, you know that it can be something really, really simple that can just change the dynamic of it real fast. Just as simple as your grandson playing with him and he jumps on you. You say, well, what are you on the floor for, Pastor? That's my grandson.
Right.
I love that little guy. I like to wrestle with him, but he caught me off guard. He caught me off guard. And nevertheless, I was feeling this numbness going down my legs. Last night, you guys saw me at the gym. Many of you were wanting me to play volleyball, of which I love to play with everybody, do all that kind of stuff, but I couldn't. My legs were killing me. My back was killing me. I thought, oh, God, I'm going to wait until Monday, and I'll go see the doctor. I was concerned. My wife was concerned. My girls were concerned. But about midnight, my daughter Gwen couldn't sleep. She could not sleep. And she said, Daddy, I went down and I began to pray in the sanctuary. And it was about 1:00. She said, I really just began to pray for you. And I said, God, we need our pastor.
Right.
We need our pastor, and we need him to be strong, and he can't go on like this. You've got to heal him now. You got to take this away now. Am I saying it right, baby? I'm not going to take no for an answer. Is that right? I'm not going to take no for an answer. You need to do something now. You need to take all that pain away. Fix it. Be done with it. I woke up at 4:00 in the morning when my eyes came open. I went, okay, here's the moment of truth. Wait a second. I feel pretty good. Roll up on the side of the bed.
Man. Praise God.
There ain't nothing wrong with that. Took the shower. Went down in the office about 5:15 and I felt so good. And I got up and I was like, yeah,
glory to God.
This is good. As a matter of fact, there's some other aches and pains that I wish you would have prayed for also. Because I realized those aches and pains were worse than anything that I felt just the night before. And I'm telling you, I believe with all of my heart, God healed my back. I know what it is to be paralyzed from the waist down. I've been there. I've been there walking down the sidewalk and hit the dirt because I've been paralyzed from my waist down. I know the feelings going down. I know. And it was all coming back. And I told my wife, I'm scared. I'm scared something's going to happen. Amen. Now I know everybody, there's a lot of people praying. But my daughter, when she told me that, and she asked me, she said, how's daddy doing? Or asked her mama, how's daddy doing today? She said, he's better. He said, there's nothing wrong. There's nothing wrong with him. And so she began to testify to her mom. And then she testified to me, tears flowing down her face. You know what that is? God is building her faith. But not only is God building her faith, I'm going to tell somebody here today, God is looking to do a sudden thing in your life. Whatever you need a miracle, you need a healing, you need a touch in your mind, you need a touch in your body. I'm telling you, God's looking to touch you in an instant and surprise you beyond degree.